Lift your voice. Well, welcome to church indeed. We're so glad that you have joined us this morning for worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. It is so good to be with you all. I would love to invite you to stand up as we get started. And this first song is going to come with a bit of a warning. This is a great little camp song we're going to start off with called My Lighthouse. And this is a song that you cannot just stand here and sing. And so for the youths in the house, or the kids, who know the actions to this song, totally you should do them. That would be amazing. Lindsay Anderson is going to be the show person for those. Just kidding, he doesn't know them, so you're gonna have to teach it to him, okay? He'll keep an eye out for you. But clapping, dancing, actions, these are all acceptable ways to do this, and we're gonna have some fun to start off. But as we have fun, we're also going to recognize our God's presence with us. So, John 1 says this, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Amen? Yeah. So let's sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him, bow down before him. Let's sing hallelujah to the light of the world, our lighthouse. So let's sing this together. Yeah, there you go. You got it.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead us through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. God's love will lead us through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore. Safe to shore.
Now this part's a little different, but you're gonna catch on. It goes like this.
Light, glorious light, I will go where you shine. Break the dawn, crack the skies, make the way right before me. In your light, I will find all I need is you.
Sing again, light, glorious light.
Light, glorious light, I will go where you shine. Break the dawn, crack the skies, make the way right before me. In your light, I will find all I need is you. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore.
Amen. Very well done. Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, call the sea to still, the raging be to still every wave. At your name, and Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silenced fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to live. All these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, in his name out. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name Jesus, Jesus,
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never
never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
So grateful that we can have confidence that you are here in our midst, that where two or more of us are gathered, which there are definitely more of that than that here, that your presence is here with us. And God, we know that wherever your presence is, you are bringing light, you are bringing hope, you are bringing healing. You are bringing transformation, because that is who you are. So God, would you shine a light on our own hearts today? Would you show us the parts that need you, that need your healing, that need your love? And would you do an amazing work inside each of us today? So yeah, we just give you glory and praise, and we pray all of this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can have a seat, and kids, you betcha, it's that time. You can head to the back and find Shyla, and she's going to take you up to your kids program where you guys can continue worshiping there. And Lindsay's got a little bit of an announcement for us before we get into the sermon. But Lindsay.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks.
You.
As we were singing that song, there's that section where it says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And I just took a moment there, I guess maybe by faith, and be on behalf of some of you this morning, maybe online, maybe here in the room, who you're not feeling it, you're not seeing it, but you are here. And I just want you to know, and can I encourage us? We've been talking a little bit about this over the last few months. When you're here, if you are seeing it, if you are feeling it, could you be praying over this congregation for those who aren't feeling it? And I mean, thank God for it. But in the midst of that, God, would you please be with the people in my church family who are struggling to see it, to know it, and to feel it. That's part of what we do when we gather together is that we are not just this little silo in and of ourselves, praising God for what he's doing, but we can be praying that God might meet people and help them to see it and to feel it and to know that he is present with them. We have a family who recently have faced some very, very challenging news. You may have been praying for this young man, Oliver Conway. Just recently has been diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. So Evan and Haley, mom and dad, and younger brother Alex are in the midst of, shall I say, darkness, amidst of challenge, pain, uncertainty, incredible mayhem and chaos on so many different levels. And so as I was singing and knowing what I was going to announce, I was just thinking, God, can we just continue to pray over this young man? 8 years old. 8 years old. Could you be in prayer for that family? Could you continue to pray for that family? They're in the midst of it. They're in the midst of about 6 months or so of treatments that will take them between here and Vancouver, that will take them down to Seattle, and who knows what else. And for anyone who's gone through any medical procedures that go on for months and months, there are so many things that can get in the way. I mean, can you just pray for health for all the physicians and all the people, like that they're, all those appointments, all those things can just stay on course? Could you be in prayer for Evan and Haley as they parent this young family, as they walk with little Oliver and the pain, literally what he's dealing with, the questions, as they try to parent little Alex in the midst of this? Sometimes the child who does well, who's doing well, can sort of get shuffled off. And it's kind of fun for a while, right? Because they might stay with aunts and uncles and grandpa and grandmas. And you know what that means. Fun times, stuff that they don't get at home. But the reality kicks in fairly quick. And it can be really challenging. Evan and Haley have both had to take leave of absence from their work. Think about that for a moment. Think about those bills that are coming in. And so there's been a GoFundMe page that has been set up for Oliver. And if you, I would just encourage you to pray. And if you are interested in helping, if able to help them, just as they try to deal with the financial realities that this that takes place in a season like this, you can go to GoFundMe. Just go in that little Google bar thingy thing, right? That little thing. GoFundMe, boom, it pops up. Go to a little circle on the top left-hand side. There's the word search beside it. Hit search and just type in Oliver. I mean, I get it. Every time I go on there, I get it. I get the face of the family. You can type in Oliver Conway, and that'll just nail it for you. And if you're able to, and if you could, if you could help support them that way as well. So I want to go to our Waymaker, our God who cares desperately. And let's spend a few minutes in prayer together. And you might have chaos in your own life. I encourage you to just take a few moments as well around that. God, this is something that I just cannot imagine facing. Never faced anything personally like this. Lord, I've watched men and women and families over the years where this kind of calamity can hit. And I've seen husbands and wives and children and families and churches rally around and trust you in the midst of all of the unknown. And I pray that for Evan and Haley, Alex and Oliver and extended family. That even though they may not see it, even though they may not feel it, they can know that your presence is there. And you're wanting to do something in the midst of this. God, we would pray. We would pray for success on this physical healing journey. God, that we are so blessed to be in this era of life, this season of life, and the scope of humanity to have such incredible wisdom within the medical profession. And so I pray that that might come to bear on little Oliver's life and that you might use that to heal this young man. God, there's all kinds of little things that are big things. There's meals that need to happen. There's ferry rides. There's planes. There's trips to Seattle, to Vancouver. There's all the stuff that's got to happen in any regular life. Like, there's just life carries on, and yet in the midst of it, it's just sort of thrown into chaos. And I just pray that they might find your peace. There's a peace you talk about that transcends what really should be going on in someone's heart and soul. And I pray that that peace might be the peace that Evan and Haley, Oliver and Alex can experience. Lord, there's other things. There's things that may not be cancerous brain tumors and all that are taking place right now in the hearts and minds of the people here. God, might we go to you? Might we seek you? Might we know you in the midst of all of this? Thank you for being an ever-present being, God, friend, Savior, Lord, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the troubled times. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hard transition always after something like that. Let's roll a little video clip to intro the sermon. So who did people say that Jesus was? That was a question he asked. Remember, we talked about this last week. We talked about it at the beginning of the series, We Are the Church. Who do people say that I am? And Peter said, well, others are saying all kinds of things, prophet, teacher, Messiah, Elijah, like just all kinds of crazy things people are saying. But I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see, that question right there is one that we need to answer. And Jesus answers it for us. Jesus took some time during his ministry to talk about himself a little bit, to explain both not only in his actions, but in his words. And those things synced up well in his life. And he explained who he was. Jesus spent the first 30 years or so in relative obscurity, and in those last 3 years, he began to reveal who he was. And he chose 7 metaphors that we're looking at in the book of John. Last week, he looked at this idea of the bread of life. Just as we all have a hunger that can never quite be completely satisfied physically, like we got to just keep going to meals and eating and all that. He said, listen, I am the bread of life, and I will satisfy your deepest longings and needs, and you will not go hungry if you pursue me, if you go after me. And this debate of who Jesus was something that just constantly sprang up everywhere he went. There was always this debate, who is he? And so in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, when he gathered again around some people, he decided, I'm going to make another statement. I'm going to give another little angle, little picture of who I am. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, in life, in our human existence as humanoids, we need the sun, right? That's why some of you move here. You like the sun. You want the significant problems happen without the sun. Physiologically, psychologically, there's challenges, right? There's the vitamin D thing, and it's actually interesting if you dive in and start Google searching. When you're doing sermons, you end up in places where you're not really sure why. But I got into some vitamin D stuff, and that was kind of cool. Can't remember it all, but feel free, fill your boots. See, now the interesting thing when I said, can you survive without the sun? One guy said, well, actually without the sun, we'll just die. Why? Well, there'd be no vegetation. And if there's no vegetation, then there's no animals. And if there's no animals, then there's no humans. We'll just kind of die, was one guy's very uplifting take. Then there was another guy, No. You'll be able to survive. Listen to this guy's idea. He goes, you can survive for a while. Go get yourself some supplements. Underground bunker. Extensive water generation system. You know? Ration your food. Ration your water. Make sure you have some sort of heat source. Now, that's living. You know, right there. It's possible maybe you can survive for a little while without the sun. Jesus is using, obviously, a metaphor here. And he's speaking about life. And now think about the significance of light today. Think about it 2,000 years ago, actually. Like they just didn't have the sources of light that we have. And so this is a very powerful analogy that Jesus was doing. Now listen, you can't exist without Jesus. He understands that. You can exist without him. No question about that. But if you want to truly live, we are to come to the light of the world. I love what Kim read right off the top of the service, and some of you may not have quite been here for that. Listen, it's good to have you whenever you get here, right? Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? Awesome. In the beginning was the Word. Sorry, everybody. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Go down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, referencing Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world, and through the world, no. Slow down. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Life, hope, belief, this concept, this idea of receiving God. Children, not born of natural. So Jesus is talking about a reality that is different than just sort of the normal human existence. It's a spiritual thing. I am the light of the world. You can become children of God. And it says there, whoever, and this is the question I have a little bit for you this morning is, whoever follows him will have the light. Is that whoever you? Is that whoever you? Now, Jesus talks about this idea, and we see it in so many different places in Scripture throughout the Bible. It talks about follow, right? Remember that? I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Think about that a little bit. What does follow mean? Follow has taken on some new meanings to us today because we have smartphones, we have social medias, and to follow someone is to click a little box and then just to read every once in a while what's kind of going on and sit there possibly with some envy or some wishing that you could or not or anything like that. That's following. Is that really following? I think there's a little more to it than that. Is following just being in the vicinity? There were lots of people in the vicinity of Jesus who we understand, we discovered, weren't really following him, although they sort of were following him because they would show up when he spoke. So maybe there's more to it than just vicinity. Is it acknowledging? Is it just somehow declaring that Jesus, yeah, he's God. Well, apparently the demons do that, and so I think there's probably a little bit more to it than that. Now, big word for the day. I'm going to have to look at my notes so I make sure I say it right. Phototropism. Yeah. You know what that is? You actually do. You may not know it just by me saying it, but I know you've observed it. I know that you probably understand what it means. But what it is all about is that a plant, phototropism is where a plant will see the sun. If it was at my house, I think it would be like, see the sun, and then as the sun is moving, the plant phototropisms itself and follows the sun. Just sort of goes with the sun. The plant bends, if you like, and literally does that and leans towards the sun. Are you catching my analogy here? When I Googled, you know, again, we're doing this. This is what Googling means if you ever see me do this. What does it mean to bend? What is it, plants and all this? Well, the first one that came up, the first hit was it's talked about this specific plant. It says they grow towards the sun and are also seen tracking the movement of the sun throughout the day. The flower keeps changing its direction with the movement of the sun. And the flower actually, this flower actually requires more light for its growth and survival. You want to know what flower that is? First one that popped up for me? The sunflower. The sunflower. Did you hear what it does? It redirects itself during the day. Like it actually tracks with the sun during the day. Follow me. Follow the light. Track. Can we do with Jesus during the day? Listening to God, the movement of God during the day. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This sunflower just keeps changing its direction. Can we do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about how we're not to be conformed to the ways of this world anymore, but to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind, following the way and the work of Jesus, tracking with the sun during the day. It's interesting, Jesus, our God, our creator, as we discovered in chapter 1, the light of the world, right? God, Jesus, creator, before all things, he came full of grace and truth. I mean, he was the light of the world. But what's fascinating, kind of mind-bending to me, is that this God, Jesus, came and he oriented himself to his Father's will, his Father's way. This God, this Jesus, why? That we might see him. This is so cool. You look in, if you got a Bible, I just encourage you to go there. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4 if you're interested. And right there in the beginning, it says, in the past, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Okay, we already discovered that earlier. But here it is. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. Over to chapter 2, verses 14 and following. Since the children, he's talking about us humans, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, the darkness, right? That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not his angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. You are a descendant of Abraham. For this reason, he had to be made like him, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of people. It is so good. It keeps getting better. Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This concept of following the light has been made clear to us through the life of Jesus. Now, when I was getting ready, this idea that I was going to speak on the light of the world, like the default thing is to go, Jesus, yay, world, bad, boo, dark, right? Like just, boo, Jesus, world, bad. And I'm like, nah, let's not go there. God loved the world, didn't condemn the world. It's just too easy to go there. But there's no doubt, there's darkness, there's hurt, there's hard things. So I thought, let's do a little case study. Let's have a look. So if you're still in John, you didn't make it all the way to Hebrews, and your Bible just flipped back to John, that's a good thing. We're going to go to John chapter 9. We're just going to look at a little story, and I'm not going to take the time to read the entire story. It is a cool thing. I'd encourage you to do that. This little case study is an interaction between Jesus and a guy who's born blind. All right? Some religious people, some very powerful people. The parents of the guy, and I think I mentioned Jesus, right? So those are the main characters in this little story, right? So there's a man born blind. This is what confronts us right at the beginning of the story. And some of the religious people, the people who are kind of hanging out with Jesus in the vicinity, acknowledging him, sort of, you know, walking with him, said, well, who sinned that this guy is born blind? Like, they just presumed. It was a very prevalent take of life in that day. Still is in certain areas. Maybe it's what you think. Oh, someone's struggling. Obviously, they've sinned. Now, the reality is, yes, okay, we've all sinned. Okay, check. But is it that direct correlation with this and that? Thank you. Someone's shaking their head over there going, no, it's not, Pastor. Thank you for that confirmation. Jesus then heals. Jesus comes along and he chooses to heal. Now, what's interesting in this story is there's a very muted celebration. You would think that there would be this amazing celebration. There's not. It's very muted. Because a bunch of the religious people were going like, who is this? He's not allowed. We don't. What? No. Isn't he? No. He's not allowed. And why? No. Can't be. That's our role if that would ever happen, which it doesn't ever happen with us. But no, not him. Can't be. Okay, I guess you can kind of get that if there are religious people and Jesus is coming on and maybe he's starting to steal the show a little bit because of who he was and all that he was doing. But bring into this the parents. Now, I'm a parent, right? You guys are, you're tired of hearing about my four beautiful kids, amazing, 3 married, 5 grandkids, unbelievable. Here's what I've discovered is you never stop parenting. You never actually stop aching for the hurts of your kids. It just doesn't go away. But apparently it can. Because the parents weren't excited about their son who is healed. It says that they were afraid of getting kicked out of their community group, their church, their religious establishment. What? How? Huh? Well, this miracle, this work of God created all kinds of relational mayhem. Right? These religious people, all of a sudden, they're just trying to come up with some reason, rationale as to what could have happened, what didn't happen, and why, and all this. Like, they're accusing the guy who said he was healed. Well, you're not really that guy, right? And it's just ridiculous. All kinds of testimonials and everything going on. The parents, as I mentioned, just all of a sudden, can you imagine being the son? And your parents are choosing this group of people who should actually be celebrating that you've been healed. And they sighed. Man, crazy what can happen. And I guess for me, as I've been thinking about this a little bit, like our presuppositions, our convictions, our beliefs on, you know, life and what happens around us really matter. Because some wrong beliefs can lead us to some conclusions that are just, that are errant. Who sinned? Well, actually, nobody sinned. The guy was just born blind. We live in a broken world. It happens. I mean, can you imagine something tragic happens in your family and all of a sudden you or a loved one all of a sudden ends up, right, with something going on? I don't know, blind, you put, well, who sinned? Like, I'll come over. Yeah, Pastor, could you come over? We'd like to visit with you. We're just in the midst of this, and my first question out the door is, well, who sinned? Let's just deal with that. Not Jesus' way. Jesus wanted to do a work in their life, the display of what God can do in the midst of it. Now, it's not always, I got to just come clean, it's not always a full-on healing. That doesn't always happen. But it can. And in this story, it did. What's going on here? How do we end up with people who should be celebrating, not celebrating? There's a tremendous amount of fear going on. There's the concern about the loss of community. There's the concern about, frankly, the loss of control. These religious leaders, they were wanting control of everything, and they were seeing it sort of sift through their fingers. Literally, there was a loss of a sense of status, and because of that, they couldn't get to the place where they could celebrate. And Jesus is saying, listen, I am the light of the world. I have come that the work of God might be on display. Let's celebrate what has happened to this young man. No, I think not. That sounds dark to me. That sounds like a place I don't ever want to go. Now, I've gone there. Probably you have too at some point. Jesus gives, you know, these little ideas. How about we learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn? Could we do that? Versus leading with, who sinned? Versus wondering, well, who did that? That can't really be the guy. No, let's follow the light, Jesus, and see what God wants to do in the midst of things. Because fear leads us to all kinds of harmful thinking and acting, and just life leads to pettiness, territorialness. We can say and do things that are just incredibly hurtful, that are so hard to be forgotten for years. And my part of my conclusion to this story for us this morning is, don't let your fear hold you back from experiencing Jesus. Don't let your fear hold you back from experiencing the light of the world, that in him is life. So I just want to take a few moments right now and just give you a chance to just sort of think through and settle in. How are you doing in this concept of phototropism? Learning how to direct yourself towards the light of the world, the Son of God, and allowing him to bring life where it seems there may not be life. And so I'm just going to, just to give us a chance just to settle in a little bit this morning, to consider and to ask God, what are you wanting to say? So the first sort of thought stream I'd like us to consider is, listen, life will happen. Good. Bad. And everywhere in between. What we believe about this will cause us to experience or not God's presence. his light. Can you look to him as the light of the world in the midst of whatever season of life you're in, whether you see him working or not? What is going on in your life right now that you need to learn to see the light of God in? That he could dispel the darkness and the fear and to be able to trust him. Take a moment. There may be a season of life and experience that God has brought to your mind, or it's just always sitting there, just lurking, that you've had a really difficult time with. Could you let the work of God be displayed in the midst of that? Could you let the healing presence of God come into that place? Are you willing? Are you open to seek God for the strength maybe to endure? Maybe you need to redefine some things, your expectations. Maybe you've got God kind of in a little bit of a box, that this is the way God works. And maybe he's trying to open that up a little bit and just show you something new. Could you let the light of the world in? The beauty of who he is. Shine. I think we miss out on God many times because of fear. It causes us to not be able to see him, to experience him. And I just want to remind you that perfect love casts out fear. And sometimes it can be confusing. I get that. But can you, in the midst of that confusion possibly, in the midst of that, are you willing to admit fear? Could you still let God work and let God in? And could you continue to learn to follow him and trust him and to orient your way, your direction to him in the midst of your day? Folks, there might be some people in your life who are influencing you to not see the light, to not see Jesus at work. You may have some toxic people in your life that God loves, no doubt about it. But they're influencing you. And in a strange way, you're kind of maybe following their way a little bit. And when you're following them, it's taking you away from experiencing the light of the world, the life that Jesus has for you. I don't know. Like, this is one I always struggle with, because I want to love people, right? Love God, love people. But there are some that maybe you need to just build some boundaries, some distance. To tell you the powerful conclusion of this story. Man born blind, work of God in his life healed. Religious people who should be celebrating with what God was doing, you know, arguing and debating to whether it could really happen. Parents, like, completely denying, disowning their child. Do you know what happens? Jesus was gone. He had healed this guy and he was gone. Do you remember what happens? He hears the abandonment that this man is going through. And Jesus seeks him out. He comes back and he seeks him out. That's our God. Came and he lived and loved and wants to shine his light. And when others step out, he is there. So good. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Would you continue to teach me, teach us, what it is to follow you, like to understand you, and that when we may not see you or feel you working, that we can trust that you are a good, good God. And that you will seek us out. And God, I would pray that we would seek you out. And that your light would shine. And your light would bring the life each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm going to invite us to stand as we respond by singing "Here I Am to Worship." And this time the ushers will also come forward and they'll take up the offering. Let's sing "Light of the World." You stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether. King.
step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see.
Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning for worship. And as always, if you would like to hang around and just pray with someone or pray together with people you came with, we would always encourage that. We'll have people up at the front available to pray with you if you would like that. But let me just leave us with Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 2, which says this: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord this morning. We'll see you next time.